So the Assembly has shot down a call for a pay hike in the Northern Ireland public sector. The Green Party MLA Stephen Agnew wanted a new living wage ped in our education system. That could have boosted the wage packets of low-paid employees, but it was voted down at Stormont. Stephen Agnew is with us now. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Along with the businessman Erwin Armstrong. Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, the living wage, Erwin, is £7.65 an hour. The minimum wage is £6.50 an hour for over 21s. £7.65 an hour. You don't think people are entitled to at least that, the pay their way in this economy?
I think everybody would like to see probably what they call the living wage. Though I can't understand quite why there's a London rate and then the rest of the United Kingdom. Whenever the cost of living varies widely within the United Kingdom, you'd think there'd be more variable rates. But I think the issue we're looking at today, there are two sides. One is within the public service and one is in the private sector. And I think the difficulty is we live in a competitive environment in the private sector. We compete directly with companies in China that are probably paying about $100 a month, which is about £15 a week.
Yeah, but you could say this about, you could race to the bottom in anything, couldn't you?
No, but I think the point is the world is a competitive place. And every time you increase costs within the United Kingdom, that means we are less competitive in export markets, particularly those markets where the Far East has a large manufacturing industry. And it's one thing that I don't think people appreciate, because historically people looked at China as being sort of second-rate goods.
The people in the public sector in this country, they've seen their money frozen, haven't they, for a couple of years now. They're seeing the cost of living going up. They're seeing their bills going up. And then they hear people like you telling them that they can't get any more money. Know their place. Know their place in this world. Stephen Agnew, why am I saying this? Why don't you say it?
Absolutely. I mean, I agree with your point, Stephen. We shouldn't have a race to the bottom. Yes, we have to compete, but we shouldn't compete in wages, because if we do that, we're going to see increases in inequality and poverty in Northern Ireland. I think this is a proposal, Stephen, that meets a lot of criteria. It's good for the economy. Oxford Economics estimates that a living wage in Northern Ireland would contribute an extra £132 million in direct spending in Northern Ireland. So that would be good for both the public sector workers who are receiving it and the private businesses who are receiving the boost in sales. It's fair. It's about saying that we shouldn't have people in work living in poverty. We currently now have more people in work poverty, i.e. people who are working but are still living in poverty, than people who are out of work and living in poverty. So it's for making work pay, which is an old Tory slogan, normally used as an excuse for cutting the welfare state, but I actually believe in making work pay.
And have you costed this, Stephen?
A decent living wage.
Have you costed this?
In terms of the costs, all the research to date, including, as I say, the report by Oxford Economics, which was Northern Ireland specific, show that the benefits to the economy outweigh the costs. There will be costs, of course. But if we look at my proposal yesterday evening, it was in the Department of Education, whereby already we have most workers being paid a living wage. So it was a relatively small number,
So you would have given just public sector workers, just in the education system, the pay rise. Nobody else in the public sector.
That was the proposal last night. I've also proposed.
But how on earth is that fair?
Well, let me finish. If we the previous proposal to say all government contracts, which would be to private companies, but the workers on those contracts should be paid a living wage while working in that contract. So wherever the government, our government or Northern Ireland Executive is spending money on labour, they should pay those workers a living wage. Of course, I want to see this rolled out to all employees across Northern Ireland, regardless of what sector it is. But it's about making a start. And the first start that I'm going to make, I've already got a commitment from John O'Dowd to find out how many people in his department aren't being paid the living wage, and he will publish
that. Here's John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. Here we go again on the magic roundabout. The living wage should be paid to all workers. Doesn't matter if you're private or public sector. They're working a 40-hour week, were below the living wage and then having to rely on government top-ups to feed their families and bring their children up.
Yeah, but what if a company can't afford it?
What do you mean if companies can't afford it?
What do you mean? What do I mean? What if a company cannot afford it?
So companies would rather have the taxpayers subsidising their companies so they make money and keep their employees in below their living wage.
Because you're saying that this should apply to the private sector too. There'll be many, many people, I guess, Erwin Armstrong, no doubt you'll concur with this, in the private sector who are essentially saying, you know, why should the public sector get special status? Why should the public sector be treated differently?
I think we've debates over the years on the comparative wages between the public and private sector. And I know there are people within the public sector who actually don't get high wages, but across the board at the moment, I think the figure was 27% higher within the public sector than the private sector. But a question for Stephen. He said it would be a boost of 132 million to the Northern Ireland economy. But where is the 132 million actually coming from, except taxpayers? That's the way the public service works. All of the money that's spent within the public service is paid for by a taxpayer. So the 132 million has to come from somewhere.
Absolutely, and I'm sure Erwin knows basic economics. When you spend money in the right places, it generates money in the economy. So it's, I would see it more as an investment. And in terms of paying extra money to the lowest paid in society, we know they're more likely to spend that in the local economy than, say, giving a tax break to large corporations or increasing chief executive pay. When you pay more money to the lowest paid workers, they spend it in the local economy, which helps boost the private sector as well as benefiting those public sector workers getting the increase.
Yeah, but Stephen, it has to come from somewhere. It's not a matter of saying it boosts the economy by 132 million. That means 132 million has to be deducted from somewhere else. And I assume that is money taken from taxpayers since the government's spending it. So,
it's money from the public purse. It's whether or not it's a good spend. We spend and we will spend our block grant. It's how we spend it. And I'm arguing that rather than cost the economy 200 to 400 million a year on a cut to corporation tax, we should better pay low-paid workers and use the same public money. Both would cost public money, but I'm saying this is a better way of spending public money.
Yeah, but I think the point you're missing, and you mentioned corporation tax, the whole point of the corporation tax, and I've been involved in it for 5-6 years, is to create employment so that you can actually get higher wages, you know.
Says that a living wage would create 2,500 local jobs. The research on corporation tax reduction says that it would be 11 years before we even break even. So 11 years before we see any return. This is an instant impact.
I think the figure I saw actually this week and repeated again was it has the potential to create 58,000 jobs, not 2.5.
20 years.
I don't think it was as long as 20 years, but the point is the long-term potential for Northern Ireland of a corporation tax cut is more jobs for people that you can then have a competitive industry where wages will increase in certain sectors.
And how many of those workers will be paid the living wage? And how many of those workers will we still be subsidising through working tax credits? Many of those workers will still be living in poverty.
Yeah, but I think that's the very point you're missing. We have unemployment in Northern Ireland, and that's where you need more competitive companies. And it's by increasing the number of competitive companies within Northern Ireland where there is less competition for jobs and wages will go up. That's the whole basis of economics, is that you can actually, by reducing unemployment, increase wages because the competition for the employee is much the competition to get employees is that much higher. That's the whole basis of any economy. And that means that the low-wage jobs will not be in the economy anymore. They will move to higher-wage jobs.
By, by saying we have to be competitive with companies in China. You're saying bring in competitive companies. But what you're saying is companies who will compete in low taxes and low wages, which actually means taking more money out of the public sector and continuing to subsidise low-paid workers. What I'm
I think, Stephen,
sustainable employment.
I think, Stephen,
it's a bottom-up approach rather than cut the taxes at the top for the biggest companies. It's pay the workers on the bottom the better wages, which they will then spend in local businesses, which then can increase their revenue, thereby employing more workers, thereby creating approximately 2,500 jobs, according to Oxford Economics.
I think your argument is wrong, Stephen. The whole point of attracting inward investment at the higher level where people are concerned about taxes is that you are bringing in high-level jobs. And I think if you look at the recent employment figures, the average wages are probably 25,000 to 30,000 in the current ones. Those, we want more and more and more of those jobs. And that means that the companies who are in sectors which can't really compete at the minute, but we need them to keep employing people, will eventually move offshore. And we will have much better jobs within Northern Ireland.
Right, here's Mervyn. Morning, Mervyn.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Terrible.
How you feel? I've just listened to this man, Irwin Armstrong, from the Conservative Party. Let me tell you something, sir. The Conservative Party today, on this last 20, 30, 40 years, couldn't give a damn about the low-wage paid people. It's as simple as that. You're coming off of a talk.
Sorry, I am not here representing the Conservative Party. I'm here as a businessman.
Well, but that's the same thing.
I don't think so.
What?
Well, you are the former chairman of the Northern Ireland Tory Party, for goodness sake. So let's not dispute that. Go ahead, Mervyn. What point are you making?
What I'm saying is this man coming on here talking about a better economy, bringing in more businesses. That's the biggest load of nonsense. This is just he just shows contempt for ordinary working people. Just pay people a decent living wage. The welfare benefits bill will drop. People will seek more employment, but not on Tory party terms. That's what it's about. He wants people in the economy to be on his, the way he sees it, not the way everybody sees it. That's what the problem is.
But the point that Irwin's making is a good one, Mervyn, and that we're competing around the world now.
Of course we are, Steve.
So therefore you've got to have a competitive base. You've got to have a competitive wage structure. If we're paying more here than they're paying elsewhere, the business will go elsewhere.
Well, Stephen, that's international capitalism. That's what that is. That's what Irwin Armstrong supports. I'm just wondering how many of the 300 people the Tory party put out in the streets off of the DVLA up in Korea. I wonder how many of them are on the minimum wage. They're on no wage. So I can't understand.
I think you'll find most of those 300 were re-employed elsewhere within the civil service.
How do you know that?
It was in public knowledge. They were offered jobs in Northern Ireland and other sectors. Some didn't want to move. So I don't think that's a very valid argument.
Well, it is a very valid argument.
The argument is,
don't be coming on this radio station as a businessman as a Tory. That's what you tell people about the minimum wage. If I've said to you before, you couldn't give a damn about it. The only time you'll be happy is when the people who are in the public sector and the health service are gone. And it's a private sector to run that. That's what you want to achieve.
Here's Stevie. Morning, Stevie.
All right, Stephen.
Yes.
Stephen, I think it's a disgrace, the minimum wage. I'm on £6.80 an hour. I work in a very dangerous environment, and a friend standing there in Burger King flipping burgers, and they're getting the same money as me. The bin man, he lifts a bin. That's not a job. He gets paid more than me as well. We need to grow up in that hill. Grow us fine. Tell Westminster to do one and set the minimum wage for everybody to £7.50.
What type of work do you do?
I work on a quarry, driving heavy machinery.
And you get paid how much?
£6.80 an hour. Absolute joke, so it is. But I haven't had a pay raise for 4 years and everything's just gone up and the price of wages haven't gone up to match.
Must you bring in a week then?
Well, maybe about £380 on a good week. Which after you take out the cost of living doesn't leave you much.
So 200 odd quid in a week?
Yeah.
Is what you bring in after tax?
Yeah, I've two kids out to feed, of a missus, of a house mortgage to pay for, a couple of cars to keep on the road.
Well, you can't do that on a couple of hundred quid a week.
No, Stephen, it's not good at all. Like.
So what do you do?
Absolute disgrace, really. You just scrimp and save and you get by, don't you? There's nothing else you can do about it. else you can do about it.
So you're telling me you can hold down a couple of kids and a car on a couple of hundred quid a week?
Yeah, well, my partner works as well, so that helps a wee bit, like. But it's tight at the best of times, like. And then you've got Christmas coming up. And it's just a struggle getting by, like. Absolute nightmare. They want to sort themselves out up in that health. Do the country a favour. Just deal with issues that relate to the country, not relating to politics, green and orange.
You get frustrated then when you hear them fighting about everything orange and green.
There's stuff where they're arguing about and there's not even an argument on it. You know what I mean? It's just, I want a point here and you want a point and then we'll go see who gets the next point. Absolute disgrace.
Many hours a week do you work?
They should track them all and just bring in people that have no political background whatsoever.
Many hours a week do you work?
People from management jobs or whatever.
Do you do a 40-hour week?
Oh, I do a 40-hour week. Yeah, 40 hours a week, sometimes more than these people.
So you're not seeing much recovery? This recovery we hear about, you're not seeing much of it?
No, I'm not seeing much of it at all. The price of stuff's just going up and up and up. And like I say, I haven't had a pay raise in 4 years. And they gave us a pay raise there, it was 12p. That's just 12p over 4 years. That's an insult, look.